On the air at News Radio 1070 WKOK and online at WKOK.com. This is WKOK Sunrise.
67 degrees over at the Penn Valley Airport, Sealands Grove. So we got a nice warm morning underway here. We launch into a new week. Rob Setter's our fabulous producer. We know he's going to make it all happen this week, so we appreciate all of his help and hard work. On the news line with us now, Dr. Aaron Hall is a psychologist at Geisinger. Good morning, Dr. Hall. Thanks for calling in today.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
I really do appreciate it. We want to talk about a COVID-19 support group that is at Geisinger. And I'm going to start out by just asking about support groups in general. Sort of define that, if you can. What is a support group? Sort of what is the mission? How does it work a little bit? Kind of walk us through how group therapy or group sessions can help.
Well, so a support group is basically just a group of people who have had some kind of shared experience that meet to basically kind of commiserate with each other about what's going on, exchange tips for things that help dealing with certain issues. So it's slightly different from group therapy, where you have a person that is teaching techniques or doing specific things. So this is more, I am a psychologist, but this was more, the point was to find out what people are dealing with and ways that we can help each other. Now, sure, I teach strategies and I give pointers about how to handle things like anxiety with certain situations or insomnia, but it is more centered around support from each other in terms of the group members.
And many people find that is very helpful, this idea of this common experience and some common advice or solutions.
Yes, I have found, especially with COVID, that people were so isolated and so separated that even for people who had COVID-19, there's such variation in the recovery that people had, the experiences that people had when they were sick, that they just don't realize that other people have been through something very similar. So allowing for this group format where we have people who can kind of choose to sign up and then get to meet other people who have had similar experiences, it feels less isolating for them to know that they have this group of people to support them and who understand what it's like.
And that isolation was a real issue during the pandemic for many people, and still is for many. This idea that you can't see family or friends, you might not see, or you may see get great help from your colleagues and peers at work, and you don't get to see them. So it's just this simple isolation in and of itself, regardless of any other outside stressors, was a big dilemma.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, even if we all just think about what our own lives have been like and how disrupted they have been over the past year, now imagine that you had a serious medical, you were sick with COVID-19, which, was serious and very scary, and you're months later, you may still be dealing with symptoms of things like fatigue or brain fog or significant anxiety, and you feel alone. So yes, the isolation has been a big thing, just dealing with a pandemic in general, but then there's just a whole other layer of isolation that people can feel after having a serious illness disrupt their lives.
Tell me more about the COVID-19 support group at Geisinger.
Yes, so we are meeting once a week, Wednesdays at 4:00 in the afternoon. It's usually about 60 minutes. And we are meeting virtually right now through the Microsoft Teams platform. So essentially all you need is a phone to call in. So far, I would say that the majority of people, we've had three groups, the majority of people are dealing with a lot of similar things. And there's variation in terms of, how sick a person was, whether they actually had been hospitalized or in the intensive care unit with COVID. And experiences are different kind of based on that. But we have found a lot of people to be experiencing trouble with sleep. Brain fog has been probably one of the more frequent complaints. trouble with concentrating and just noticing a difference in the way that your brain is processing information. A lot of anxiety related to things that they went through, fears of getting sick again, or fears and anxieties related to symptoms lasting long into their life. We have had people join the group that were sick over a year ago or about a year ago, and then we have people who also, you know, might have been sick recently or just were in the hospital within the past month or two.
And
so it's been a really great group.
At this point, just one group so far?
We have had three. The group started mid-May, I believe it was. We've had three group sessions, and the fourth one will be this Wednesday.
Okay, and how can counseling, therapy, and communication help if you apply that specifically to the COVID-19 symptoms?
So there has been a lot of research coming out in the past year that's showing us that people with COVID, it's not unusual for people to have symptoms of psychological or cognitive dysfunction after being sick. The most common being anxiety, depression, trouble with sleep, like I mentioned, brain fog, or any kind of general cognitive problems, including memory problems, and post-traumatic stress disorder. So the research now is showing us that between a third or a fourth and a third of people are experiencing some of these problems, and that these problems are persisting months after being sick with the virus. So these are, I'm always encouraging people, these may be to some extent in part due to the adjustment and just the fear of having been diagnosed with a serious medical problem, but a lot of these problems are due to the actual effect of the virus on the brain. And as a result, I mean, these are very significant problems that will probably outlast other physical effects of the virus. And so it's just important to address these, to recognize that these are actually significant symptoms in the recovery of COVID-19, and that they need to be addressed and treated so that your life can go back to normal and that you can live a good quality of life. So any time that you're struggling with symptoms like this, it's important to get help for them. And if the first step is just joining a group where you can learn about what you're going through and how common it is, that's a good first step. And we're happy to help connect people to other resources as needed for individual therapy if they're struggling more than the group wants to help with.
I have just a source. I just find this group therapy and this issue a source of endless fascination. We are talking to Dr. Aaron Hall, a psychologist at Geisinger. We have a couple of moments left. Are not some of those symptoms being experienced by everyone, whether you had the disease or not?
Yes, in some ways, just because of the huge alteration of our lives in the past year, it has been more common for people to be struggling with anxiety and depression and substance use problems specifically. And the impact of having the virus just increases that risk by, I think, like fourfold, according to research.
Are there changes that have taken place in our lives that seem like they're going to be permanent, that are going to be, folks aren't going to like? Like maybe a business might shut down their office because they realized they were just as productive without paying for heat and everything at an office. We certainly experienced that in the central Susquehanna Valley, that some offices aren't going to regroup. The fact that some of these changes are imposed on us, is that a factor in this discussion?
Yeah, I think that's always a factor. The lack of control, if anything is happening to us and we don't have control, whether it's some factor like related to your work or employment or related to your physical health, I think that is where it becomes likely that we might struggle more with something like an anxiety disorder. Because we're used to a certain amount of predictability and control in our lives, and this pandemic has certainly basically turned everything upside down in many ways. So yes, it is a very normal reaction to any life events that happen beyond our control to have some anxiety and or feelings of helplessness and low mood that happen as a result.
Are there some other subtle symptoms that people are experiencing related to COVID, sort of long hauling, both people who've had the disease and those who have not, some subtle changes or issues that have popped up maybe we haven't talked about?
Well, there's other neurologic symptoms that people have had that can be ongoing, like dizziness and ringing in their ears, headaches. I think those are things that also, regardless of whether you're experiencing independent anxiety, depression, or PTSD symptoms, if you have kind of persistent issues like that that impact your everyday life, those seem to be very difficult for people to deal with because of the not knowing whether or not it's ever going to get better. And those are some things that many of the group members have shared continuing to struggle with, which is basically just a reminder of the sickness that they had and reminder that they have no control over whether those symptoms are going to get better.
Should everyone have some counseling or therapy in some way? Would almost everybody benefit from this?
Yeah, I think that's a dangerous question to ask a psychologist, because I think most of us would say yes, anyone would benefit from some form of therapy or counseling at some point, mostly because it's very focused on insight and learning things about yourself and triggers for why certain situations might make you upset or anxious, and then learning with ways to deal with that. So yeah, I think in general, most people would find tremendous benefit from speaking with someone. And I think in a group setting, it's a little less intimidating and a little easier for people who maybe don't want to consider themselves to have a psychological problem, but everyone that has had COVID can say, okay, these are the symptoms that I'm still experiencing. And if some of those things are psychological or are troublesome to people, they're much more likely to reach out for support in the form of a group, I think, than they would be to call up an office to schedule an appointment with a psychologist.
Anything else you would like to add to our discussion? Maybe I didn't ask you an additional comment. Anything else?
Yeah, I guess if anyone is listening and would like to learn more about the group or to join the group, it is an open group, so anyone is able to join at any point in time, and there is no requirement to continue to be part of the group for any certain length of time or anything like that. It's really guided toward helping people when they need the help and getting some answers to things that they might be struggling with. You can find information about the group and the opportunity to sign up for the group on the Geisinger webpage. It's geisinger.org and then /events. And there is a link on the right-hand side for support groups. So you can always sign up for the group there. We look forward to having you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the information. Geisinger.edu, always a great starting point for all the kind of helps and topics that we talk about on our program. Dr. Hall, thank you so much for calling in today. We really appreciate it. And you have an open mic to talk about these important topics anytime. Thank you.
Thank you so much for letting us have this conversation, Mark. I appreciate it.
All right, we appreciate you. All right, Dr. Aaron Hall, psychologist at Geisinger, talking about their COVID-19 support group. It is specifically for individuals who are experiencing symptoms, some of the longer haul symptoms of having the disease of COVID-19, but it also is for individuals that are struggling because of the pandemic that may or may not have ever actually had the coronavirus. So that support group at Geisinger.